This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised to the dead, from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no great secret around the household that we call Earhart that I am not mechanically inclined. If there is such a thing, I am mechanically disinclined. Three words that strike terror into my heart are "some assembly required." I've been known to pay extra just to have an item assembled and delivered complete, so all we have to do is move it into position. But sometimes that's just not possible. Those are the times I give special thanks that I'm married to Bonnie. She's at the Via de Cristo weekend, so I can talk about her behind her back. But besides being smart and pretty and kind, she has kind of an engineer's eye. She's good at visualizing how things go together. And for those of you that have been to my office at my house, you've seen that I have a very nice desk, really a beautiful big desk. I've had it for years. It has a return down one side. On the other side, there's a big bank of nice deep drawers. That's the good news. The bad news, it came some assembly required. And the double bad news was that besides having just a zillion parts that were scattered all over the ground, the directions that came with it were obviously written by someone for whom English was a second language. Thank goodness for Bonnie. Without her, I would have been lost and the desk would have never come together. Limited mechanical ability, limited patience, and lousy directions spelled big trouble for me. And thankfully, Bonnie's engineer eye helped her visualize how the whole thing would come together. And so it came together in spite of lousy directions. It took most of the day, but when it was all said and done, I had this really nice new desk. And at that time, I couldn't help but think how much easier things would have been if we had had clear directions. At the end of our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives Peter perhaps the clearest instructions anyone could ever ask for. Two words: follow me. All week long, as I read and reread our gospel lesson, my eye was drawn to those final two words: follow me. And that came as a kind of a surprise to me, because although this is one of my favorite stories out of the Gospel of John, I've never really focused on those last two words before. And maybe it's because there's so much going on in this particular story. There's those discouraged disciples going fishing because they didn't know what else to do with themselves. There's the miracle of the full nets of fish caught while the boat is just a little ways away from shore. There's the hospitality of Jesus serving breakfast to his friends. And then, maybe most important of all, there's this reinstatement of Peter to the role of leader of the followers of Jesus. And it all concludes with those final two words: follow me. For disciples of Jesus, then and now, Jesus' instructions are crystal clear. We're to follow him. It's not like building a desk from IKEA, where the end product is pretty simple, at least for most people, but where the instructions aren't clear. I think to be a follower of Jesus, it's a little difficult because it's kind of hard to visualize what the end product is, because discipleship isn't a one-size-fits-all kind of deal. We all have different gifts. We all have different skills and abilities. And so as disciples of Jesus, we're all going to end up looking a little bit different. The instructions are crystal clear. We're to follow Jesus. But it takes a while for that end product, the disciple, to develop. Some assembly is required. So it occurred to me this week that it's in the act of following Jesus, that the final form of the disciple takes shape. And it also dawned on me that for those of us in North America, especially for those of us in Western states, we're not all that enamored with the idea of following anything, especially in the West. We are enamored with the idea of pioneer or trailblazer. We like the idea of being out in front. As the saying goes, the view never changes if you're not the lead dog. So besides this kind of Western cultural bias against following, what is it about this whole idea of following that makes it difficult for us? Part of it, I think, has to do with giving up control. Just think of how we use the word follow in our everyday language. We say, follow your heart, follow procedures, follow a recipe, follow a map, follow the leader. We even follow someone on Twitter. When we follow procedures or we follow a recipe, we're basically setting aside our own sort of a way of doing things. We say, in this instance, I'm going to keep to directions by someone who knows what they're doing. They've been there and done that, and I'm going to go where they've gone. When we follow someone on Twitter, we say we care about what that person has to say on a given subject. You know, our own views may or may not be fully developed on a given subject, but when we follow someone on Twitter, we care about what they have to say on this subject or that. And when we follow a map, it's because we're unsure of how to get from point A to point B. We set aside our own instincts and we stick to the directions that someone else provided who's made that trip before. The thing all these examples have in common, I think, is that the follower sets aside personal control of the situation. You know, I know that sometimes we joke about being control freaks. It's okay to joke about it, I guess, and we could joke about it because sometimes, you know, we say things out of self-confidence. You know, if I'm a pretty good cook or I have a good sense of direction, maybe I don't have to relinquish control. Maybe I can go it on my own. But sometimes I think we just don't want to relinquish control because we can be stubborn. I think there's an even deeper reason that people find it difficult to follow. And I think it has to do with trust. It's tough for us to follow a procedure or follow a leader if we don't have complete confidence or trust that whoever's doing the leading is really going to take us to the right place. And if we remember just a little bit of the history between Peter and Jesus, our gospel lesson carries with it a really touching message about trust. If we think back to John chapter 13, Jesus is talking to Peter at the Last Supper, and it's just before his betrayal and crucifixion. And he tells Peter something. He says to him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter says to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And it's right there that Jesus says to Peter, "Yeah, you can say that, but you're going to deny me three times." Jesus knew that because of human frailty, Peter wouldn't be able to trust completely. He wouldn't be able to follow Jesus all the way to the cross, no matter how self-confident he seemed to be. But here we are in John chapter 21 now. And Peter has seen the risen Christ. He's received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on him and the other disciples that first Easter evening. And in this lesson, Peter has told Jesus three different times that he loves him and that he'll feed and tend his sheep and lambs. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And Peter's trust in Jesus and in God the Father is now complete. Now, he's willing to follow Jesus no matter what the cost. And indeed, Jesus in our gospel lesson tells Peter what the cost of his discipleship is going to be. The price Peter's going to pay as a follower of Jesus is the same price that Jesus paid. Jesus tells him that someone's going to fasten a belt around him and take him someplace that he's not going to want to go, that he's going to stretch out his hands. In other words, be crucified. All just because he's a follower of Jesus. We can look at this example of discipleship, and that final form of Peter as a disciple is extreme. But his trust in God is such that he's willing to pay even an extreme price to be a follower of Jesus. There's one last aspect of following that I wanted to share with you today. And believe it or not, it comes from the study of the J.R.R. Tolkien material that I'm looking at for our adult discipleship class that we're doing on Tuesday nights about Tolkien. More than once in The Hobbit and in the trilogy of The Lord of the Rings, the wizard Gandalf speaks about how hobbits are made of sterner stuff than they appear. In a mythical world that's filled with immortal elves and powerful wizards and strong men and great evil, it falls to seemingly lowly hobbits to save the world. And we find that more than any other creatures in Middle Earth, hobbits have a capacity to resist evil and to follow through on the dangerous quest that they're given. As ordinary, simple creatures, hobbits make unlikely heroes. And then we look at Peter in our gospel lesson. After seeing the risen Christ and after receiving the Holy Spirit, Peter becomes this great spiritual giant. Roman Catholic tradition says that he became the first bishop of Rome and that he was crucified there by the Emperor Nero. And we might be tempted to think that it was easy for Peter to follow Jesus because he was this spiritual giant. But the truth is, Peter wasn't always a spiritual giant. He did deny Jesus 3 times. When he tried to walk on water in that scene in Matthew chapter 14, he sinks like a stone. It was through the act of following Jesus that Peter grew into a spiritual giant. And folks, I believe that's good news for us. And while Peter was blessed to see Jesus face to face, we have an advantage that even Peter didn't have. We have all the written witnesses of the Gospels and all the books of the New Testament that talk about in great detail about what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. And those stories are full of ordinary, simple people who follow Jesus and who grow and who end up doing great things for God. So yes, we have Jesus' clear instructions, follow me. And we also have those first-hand accounts from the likes of Peter and John and Mark and Paul about what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. And I think that seeing the great faith of those early disciples, that helps increase our faith today. But it's just so important to recognize that those first disciples didn't start out with great faith or as spiritual giants. It turns out that they were made of sterner stuff than they appeared to be at first. And so can we be made of sterner stuff. It's in the process of following that disciples of Jesus grow. It was true in the first century. It's true today. So then the question for us becomes, how can I, at this stage, whatever it may be in my journey of faith, how am I called to follow Jesus? How can I serve? What am I equipped to do for the kingdom of God? Because you know, in our gospel lesson, Jesus isn't just asking Peter to follow him. He's asking us to follow along also. So we have to think, what part of my life am I willing to relinquish control to turn over to God? How much of my life am I willing to trust God with? I just have to think that it's good news for us that Jesus didn't decide to call only spiritual giants. He wants us to follow and to grow in the following of him. But brothers and sisters in Christ, the instructions are crystal clear. We're called to follow Jesus. And in this season of Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And so may we also celebrate, and I would say really prayerfully consider, the new life available to us as we respond to that command of Jesus. Follow me. Amen.